happened in these like last few months. I mean, you got the truckers, we got COVID, the narrative just falling apart, and parents voting out school board members. It's actually kind of cool to see like parents finally starting to wake up, and just people waking up, starting to.
Yeah. It is. And this is what we've referenced for the last few years, is the Great Awakening, is people waking up to the atrocities that have been portrayed upon them by a global elite, by their politicians, by the people they've entrusted with their will and their consent and their freedoms. And you mentioned you mentioned a lot of things there, but you know, the COVID narrative, we called this back in December. We said that the COVID narrative is going to be removed from the media, mainstream media. And they're going to start moving away from the main in, from the COVID narrative. And the reason they're doing that is not because that COVID's over or anything like that. We know that this has nothing to do with that. But the move away from the COVID narrative is actually within their plans. So this, I don't look at the move away from the COVID narrative as a big win or a battle that we won. It's actually part of their plans. If you understand how their playbook operates, we can begin to see that they have a boiling pot. Right. And what they do is they have multiple boiling pots on humanity at all times. And they raise one to the point where that dog, like Pavlov's dog, gets backed into the corner, is ready to bite. Yeah. And now they give him a treat and they start petting him. And so the boiling water got turned down on COVID. And now it's going to increase on global war, global financial destruction. Yeah. It's going to focus on global climate change. And so they're going to pull those ones up. But see, the thing is, and this is what I think a lot of people fail to realize, is the COVID narrative was basically meant to get you to usurp your own freedoms. Think about this. Yeah. Is people wore masks, people had to do all these mandates, and then it comes out and the governments are now dropping the mandates throughout the world. Now think about that. But what already happened? I just went to the dentist office with my kids. You know what they told me I had to do when I walked in there?
Wear masks.
That's right. Because it's no longer government mandated. Oh, that's unconstitutional. You can't do that. So you know what, though, is businesses do it. And see, this is a ploy by what's known as the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, Agenda 2030. And this comes about through ESG standardization, environmental, social justice, and governance. And the governance part is what we're talking about here, because this is produced by transnational corporations within public-private partnerships, PPPs, with governments. And what happens is they produce their own policies, and they push these policies down through the banks in the financial sector. So the central banks, the World Bank, IMF, so forth, will loan money to these central banks. These central banks will implement these policies for all the lesser banks in order to get overnight liquidity or whatever it might be. These lower banks have to abide by these ESG standards. Now, some of these ESG standards are, you got to have your people vaccinated. We just heard Klaus Schwab yesterday, the World Economic Forum, talk about exactly this. He said, COVID-19 is giving us a great opportunity because of the vaccine passport to nothing more than a global identification to become a global citizen. This is what we've been screaming about, is that it had nothing to do with virus, it had nothing to do with COVID, that stop yelling at your governments. Stop yelling at your governments about mandates, because they can't do that in the first place. Start yelling at these corporations and saying, we're not going to buy from you. We're going to boycott you. I'm not wearing a mask. It's not happening. Yeah. And you notice how it's a voluntary in a lot of places. Eventually, that voluntary switch will get turned on just like that, because what they're going to do is probably right after the midterms, you're going to see a rise up of a variant. And that's when it's all going to begin. And it's interesting, too, because we have the midterms coming up. And this is going to be incredibly crazy, because these people, they are evil beyond means, and they will not give up power without a fight.
Yeah.
And I mean a fight. So be ready for what's happening. But, you know, in the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, that kind of thing, is the COVID narrative is not falling apart, in my opinion. In my opinion, it's falling.
Kind of getting shifted, changing their.
It's falling right in line with everything that they're doing. And so also you want to think about is Dr. Zelenko, Dr. Malone, and everybody else has predicted how many deaths are we supposed to have in the next 3 years? Now, how do you disassociate those deaths, vaccine and virus, away from the public eye? Is you have to take all that stuff out of the news cycle. You have to take the vaccines out of the news cycle. You have to take COVID out of the news cycle. And guess what? People now are just dying of heart attacks or strokes. And that's normal. Nobody associates that with the virus and with the vaccine. There's an example I was talking about today. What was it? It was an event that happened months ago. And everybody at the time was like, oh my God, we got to, oh my God. Right. And I said, how's that event now? Right. And that was the key, is everybody had forgotten about it.
Yeah.
And that's what they do, is they pull it out of the news cycle and you forget about everything until it presents itself again. You go, oh my God, I remember. But most people, the average people, are like, oh, I don't even remember it. Oh, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a crazy time to be alive. Us as patriots, we need to be vigilant. We need to keep on pushing on. We got to keep on digging and exposing these criminals. It's a lot what we do over at the Red Pill Project is we're just doing investigative research. We're trying to expose these people as much as possible. And we're just breaking it down. And a lot of the stuff that we're talking about right now, actually, I have a new radio show. So I'm going to be I'm gonna be on the radio. So actual broadcast radio, like, which is pretty cool, right?
That's cool.
And I'll be talking a lot about what I was just talking about right there in the sense of the Great Reset, Agenda 2030, Agenda 2050, Agenda 21, which was the original encapsulation that happened in 1992 at the Kyoto Agreement. And then what is also known as Codex Alimentarius, which was the food protocols that were instilled in the 1990s that actually brought along the whole the whole idea of genetic modification foods that we have implemented throughout society. And so the hiding of those and the GMO seeds and so forth. So it's that's going to be pretty cool. That starts March 5th.
Okay.
Next month. Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's going to be awesome. Yeah. Where are you broadcasting at?
It'll be 10
or on.
Yeah. So it'll be, WYSL 1090 or 1080 AM in Western New York. And so you'll be able to find it on their website as well as on FM channels, 97.1 FM. And that'll be broadcast on Saturday mornings at 11 AM and rebroadcast Sunday nights at 9 PM. So we're excited about that. We're looking, we're in talks with another radio station in Tampa.
Okay.
Yep. So for that show, it's going to be called Dark the Light, and it's going to be exposing the crime and the corruption and all this other stuff, the radical funding of liberals throughout the country, from attorney generals, the judges, to governors, to the complicity within voter fraud, talking about all of those things. So pretty excited about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it goes down all the way to the local level. I mean, school boards, the corruption goes down. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and their bank is, their branch is like, a bank is small. There's like five branches in the state that they're in. They got canned because they're pretty popular patriots out here, and it's a small bank, and they got kicked out. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, they were like, your accounts are going to get closed. And that's a small bank. That's not like Chase or any of these other ones. And that's a small bank. So it's like that corruption. It just, it goes all the way down and stuff. And that's why even with the elections coming up, a lot of these voting machines are, the bad ones are still like in the works. So I'm just like, I don't know if we're going to see fair elections if, you know, a lot of these machines are still the same. So it's just,
Well, you know, you can give some predictions on that as well.
Yeah.
There's going to be a red wave. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There is going to be a red wave. If we go back to the whole Q part and we go into the boards, this is what was meant in 2018. It was actually 3-year deltas or 4-year deltas pertaining to today. We're going to see a red wave like never seen before. And it'll be very, very easy to find out who cheated and where cheating is done. And here's the thing is they're going to roll with it. They're going to. And one of the other aspects of this is they're going to say that we cheated, because that's what they do, is it's projection, right?
Yeah.
When you do something wrong, you project it on your brother, your sister. Oh my God, they did it, right? And so they're going to, so the Democrats will say that, oh no, the Republicans must have voted. This is so improbable. And that's how they're going to seize power and control so they can't take over in January. But, so there's a lot of things. A lot of my research is in financial, economic aspects. A lot of it pertains to political and just really making connections.
Yeah.
So we are at the front of a global economic collapse. I think we can all understand this. And so we know that these people had ammunition to utilize against us. Now, we just saw with stuff that Donald Trump was putting out the other day, Durham, all this stuff that's going on, that these people are scared. And they're going to start fighting back immediately after the Donald Trump stuff happened. The Durham report came out. What happened to the stock market? Right. This is how they operate. This is their ammunition. So we're going to have a global economic collapse at some point in time. So everybody needs to be out there and they need to be invested in various different products that are hedges against the stock market. This is gold. This is silver. This is crypto. You guys got a gold guy?
Yes. My dad does. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, does your audience have a gold guy?
I'm not for sure.
Okay.
Well, so, I know that like the gold, the guy who's on, I forget his name. Kirk. Yes. Yeah.
So if your audience wants, getgoldtoday.com.
Yep.
And you can get a hold of Kirk Elliott. Getgoldtoday.com. You can get a hold of Kirk Elliott and he will take care of you. IRAs, if you have IRAs, 401ks, old 401k you want to transfer into gold, an IRA that you want to transfer into gold, or if you just want to buy $300 worth of gold bullion.
Yeah.
Getgoldtoday.com. That's Kirk Elliott. He'll take care of you. And so you want to be diversified. Cryptocurrency. Yeah. I know people are scared of cryptocurrencies. Look, decentralized cryptocurrencies are where it's at. When you start getting into centralization, what's happening right now with the SEC and what they're trying to do is they want to centralize control over cryptocurrency. That's not a good thing. So the evil metaverse that's coming, it's a centralized metaverse that we should be afraid of. It's a decentralized where you and me control it on our own computer. That's what we want. And so these are just as good as gold, but it's decentralized cryptocurrencies that you really can't go in. You can't regulate and you can't take it out of my wallet. It doesn't work that way. You can't go into my wallet and take my cryptocurrency. There's no way that happens. When they talk about how they seized Bitcoin from these criminals in New York City and stuff like that, they didn't seize anything. They can't go in there and seize that wallet. Okay, it doesn't work that way. You can't do that on the blockchain. What they're talking about is they seize the keys to the wallet, which is basically a 24-word mnemonic code that gets you in there or a certain password. Yeah. That's what they seize, and then they transfer it out. But that person has to willingly give it up, which it's against their rights to do that. But so we have the global economic collapse. People need to be prepared for that. That's either going to happen right before the midterms, or after. We don't know, but it's going to happen sometime around that because, like I said, they can't give up power. If they give up power, their heads roll. We have America First candidates running all throughout the United States, right? And this means that they're going to investigate only 20. They're not going to investigate 2020. They're also going to investigate 2016 and make sure that John Durham has all the resources to do his job. But something interesting happened a few weeks ago. We've been talking about this on my show. So Matt Gaetz comes out and he goes, you know, how triggered would Nancy Pelosi be if Donald Trump became Speaker of the House?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Vernon Jones, who was running for governor of Georgia, drops out of the governor race. Next day, he announces he's running for Congress. The day later, he's endorsed by Donald Trump. And the day after that, he puts out a memo stating that I'm an American First candidate. When I get in there, I will round up my my other congressional representatives.
Yeah.
And we will vote for Donald Trump to become Speaker of the House. So we start seeing this scenario unfold. Now, Donald Trump's last email that came out on February 16th, one of the ones that he put out, this is the one that references Robert Durham, not John Durham. Big difference there. Robert Durham, by the way, is the guy who made in the late 1700s, who made Durham boats. The Durham boat is the one that George Washington crossed the Delaware on going into Trenton, New Jersey. This is also referenced directly to, if you got some Q fans out there, the Q Post 14. It's a direct reference to Q Post 14. It's a direct reference. Mm-hmm. Not only that is, there's other things happening. So he did another one the day after that actually referenced another Q Post, and it was the exact delta with the exact wording. So pretty interesting there. But when we start looking at what Donald Trump's doing, is in the end of that email, he said that the victims of these crimes should get reparations. Now, who's the victim of the crime of the 2020 election? He is.
Yeah.
But he's not talking about the 2020 election. He's talking about the 2016 election, right? Because he's talking about Durham. Durham's investigating Russian collusion during the 2016 election. But what happened after that? You got to follow Donald Trump's words. He's always said that I don't need a second term. I should get my first term back. I should get the first 4 years of my first term back because I was so impeded by the corruption, the collusion, and the treason happening from the Democrats, from the impeachments, the Mueller investigation, and so forth. So what they were doing is they knowingly knew that the DNC information, the dossier, all this stuff was made up and absolute BS, that Obama spied on him, that the CIA continued to spy on the president of the United States while he was in office. Okay. So we know this, and that's treason. So basically what Donald Trump is saying is that victim of those crimes should get reparations. Well, what are the reparations for being impeded to do the presidency? And so, by the way, he's not the victim. The American people were, because they voted for Donald Trump. So the reparations to the American people were give that president his 4 years back because he was in, because it was a coup.
Yeah.
So he's talking about, forget this, forget about 2020.
I want my first 4 years back. Those are his reparations. And if he gets Speaker of the House and they begin investigations in the 2016, 2020, guess what happens? He's going to get his first 4 years back. And I'm saying, I don't want to predict anything, but I said there's potential.
Yeah.
That if we do take the House and the Senate, there's no, you know, nuclear war or anything like that. Aliens don't come down shooting laser beams out of their ass, right? If that stuff doesn't happen, that you could potentially have Donald Trump being reinstated in 2023. I'm just, it's a hypothetical, right? Off of what I just told you. But 2023 created a new presidential cycle. A new presidential cycle. So there's a lot of interesting things here, you know, in the battle of good and evil. You know, nobody's winning this war. I hate to say it that way, but nobody's winning this war. This is a battlefield and it's going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But things are about to ramp up. That's a lot of the messaging that we're talking about with the Q boards and Donald Trump and his messages that he's putting out there is it's telling us that drip, drip, flood. He just put out there, when do you call a plumber? And so he did you see that? Yeah. He said, so it was interesting because on the same date 3 years ago, Q posted, when do you call a plumber? Interesting.
Interesting.
Right. And then Q would also post, you call a plumber when there's a flood. Right. Now, who's the plumber? The plumber in reference to the Q boards is Jaffe. Jaffe is the tech executive number one that was actually spying on Donald Trump. So see how all that ties together? And like it's too much of a coincidence that like he would do that. Right. So
there's too many weird things. It's like when you start getting too many weird things, you're like, not coincidence, maybe a couple, but you're like, whenever you start seeing a lot of things and you're just like, they tie together so seamlessly almost, you're like, I don't think it's a coincidence anymore.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And so, I predicted this back in November of 2020. I said, they just stole this election from Donald Trump. What's going to happen now? Remember when they actually, it was October 2020, because they had just ejected him off of Twitter.
Yeah.
Myself as well, off of every platform in the world. But I said that Trump is going to come out and create his own social network. And what's going to happen is they're going to wait till they obtain about 100 million people on that platform, because that's what the critical mass is for a social network. And once they do, you're going to start seeing the Wiener laptop. You're going to start seeing Hillary Clinton's emails pop up. You're going to see Hunter Biden's laptop. And all that information will be released on his platform that cannot be shut down by big tech. And we're beginning to see the truth start to roll out slowly. Yeah. And now we see these hints of drip, drip, flood a week before Truth Social is about to launch. Yeah. You know, many months right before the midterms, we know that the Democrats are ramping up their progression towards winning votes. And Beto's like, I will support your Second Amendment now. And oh my God, these guys are just do anything to win. But I see a campaign of truth and information coming out massively here.
Oh yeah.
We just had Glenn Beck do a big piece on Arabella. This institution that runs five under sub institutions, including the 1690 fund and a few others, which this is how the billionaires through their philanthropies are funneling billions of dollars into political campaigns. Like you can only give $250 a year or whatever it is, or $2,500 a year to a political candidate. But what they do is they funnel this money, billions of dollars a year, through these nonprofits, charities, and NGOs. Go back to Q. This is what he told us to watch.
Yeah.
And so Arabella, owned by a Weiss, a German billionaire, whose assistant is a guy by the name of John Podesta. Oh, well, go figure that. Hillary Clinton's former aide, right? Former chief of staff. And this is all interconnected. This connects right back to Mark Elias of the lawyer for the DNC that's directly attached to the dossier. So this is their schemes all over again. The whole hit piece that we just had, I'm drawing blanks on it, but Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
The campaign that they ran against Joe Rogan, that was paid by these same people, Media Matters, the Medina brothers. It's all funneled money from these same billionaires, the Soros and the Weiss billionaires that come from the Davos Bros, World Economic Forum, to initiate the Great Reset. The Great Reset, for everybody out there, if they don't know, is the initiation of a world government at the event that the global economy collapses and all governments of the world become unstabilized. And so that means that the Great Reset happens. You have to build it all back better, We've heard that before. Build back better, right? Build back better. And the build back better comes about from collapsing everything. Is you have to collapse the economy. You have to destabilize governments. And the only way to destabilize governments is through war. And that's what they're trying to do in Ukraine right now. They're trying to promote fraud. They even came out today and said, Joe Biden says, they're going to do a false flag and they're going to blame it on someone else. Yeah. And so they're setting the narrative. Blinken came out and said, I bet you they're going to do some type of chemical attack in Ukraine and call it a false flag. That's like the Central Intelligence Agency going, we didn't set up those chemical bombings in Syria. That wasn't us.
And also by saying false flag, you just admitted it exists by actually saying it. Because I remember I saw that clip on Tucker when he's like, wait a second, you just admitted that actually it's real? I thought it was only in the crazed conspiracy minds of Alex Jones. Mm. He's like, but you're admitting it now. Yep. Admit what you can't deny now, what you can't admit. But it's like,
that's it.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting time to be alive, Hannah. It's going to get crazier from here on out. Dark the light. It's going to take a long time to sort all this mess out. And I'm hoping that we can get the good people in control, the good people in the right places to where, you know, we can breathe and relax and no longer have to stay so vigilant and maybe get back to some level of a new normalcy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, like I said, I love watching some of just Fox sometimes anymore, just because I'm seeing this stuff come out. I'm like, this is stuff that we've known for like years and months and stuff. And we're actually starting to see it. And the mainstream and CNN and the rest of them, they're trying to keep it quiet. But it's like, once it gets to a certain point, even they're not going to be able to keep it quiet. So it's like, if Americans and just start like waking up and being like, and people of the world, it's like, we're not having this and stuff. Yep.
Well, CNN, I think, is going to go out of business real soon.
They were talking about that on Fox the other night. They're already saying they're probably going to see the end of CNN. CNN's probably going to go bye-bye, particularly with Zucker out now and stuff. And everybody knows he didn't leave because of the sex thing. There's something else there, because everybody know. Is the woman that he was seeing, is she a dude? I've seen the picture of her. She looked like a tranny. I'm no offense to her if she's really a woman, but I looking at the picture of her, I'm like, that looks like a dude. And particularly since all these guys are home at the top, they're all homeless.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't follow it too much. I heard about it. I let it go. No, I wasn't trying to figure it out.
It looked like a guy. And I'm like,
Melinda Gates, I don't know. I got my questions about her.
All of these guys, I mean, like I said, Big Mike, I'm like, all these guys at the top, like a lot of these people, they seem to be homos. They're actually not interested in women. All of them are homos anyway. So I'm like, a lot of these people that we think are women, I'm like, I think are probably not.
So we have audio clips. We have like little audio clips that play like, before we do a commercial or something, like Mike Lindell's commercial, we have this little bit about Michelle Obama. And he goes, my name is Mike Obama, and I approve this message. And so it's Mike Obama. My name is Michael Obama, and I approve this message. Because that's his real name, right? Michael.
Yeah.
And I think everybody has understanding that Michelle Obama's a tranny, right? Like we can.
All you have to do is look at that. Her, him. It's like, because the shoulders, because I always thought she was the ugliest woman like ever, just because I mean the broad shoulders, and I'm like, women,
because she's built
physically
like a man?
Built like that. Yeah, because I'm like, because she's a man, I'm like, because women aren't built like that, because their shoulders are thinner, are not as wide as their hips, but I'm like, like big up here and then small, and I'm like, yeah, that's a dude. It's definitely
a dude. I mean, I don't think there's any doubts in a lot of people's minds.
Oh, I know. It's just, it's crazy coming out on all this stuff. But it's like, it's funny that even, like I said, on Fox, I'm surprised at some of the stuff they've even talked about, because Joe DeVito on Greg Gutfeld's show one night, they were talking about Nancy Pelosi, and he said, oh, she just loves children because she wants their sweet stem cells and their blood to rejuvenate her. And I was like, I had to rewind it, because I was like, did he just say that? And that was just a couple weeks ago. And I was like, did he just say that on national television? And I'm like, that's adrenochrome right there. And so it's kind of crazy, the stuff that you never thought would come out in the mainstream media, but it's starting to. It's kind of crazy. It's like, wow, we're actually seeing what we already knew like years, but actually starting to be talked about a little bit on TV. You're like, wow.
So it's interesting that you actually said that, because the billionaire Weiss, W-Y-S-S, the German billionaire, who's actually funding the Annabella Group, right? He actually has labs. So basically they fund universities, and university will build a lab or a division in their name. And so he has many of them around the world. I think the one at Harvard actually derives to at extracting blood and utilizing children's blood stem cells to rejuvenate human beings. That's where the research is going. And you got to wonder, with the 800,000 children that go missing in the United States every year that are never heard from again, I wonder where they're going. I wonder. Interesting. Yeah. I'm going to be talking to Megan Walsh tonight. She's the daughter of America's Most Wanted's John Walsh, who's came out and made some pretty serious allegations against her father. And so we're going to be talking to her tonight, but she's going to be talking about child abuse and human trafficking and all these things. It's horrific to think about that kind of stuff. And I've actually had experiences in my life of being in the military. We actually did counter-narcotic operations as well as anti-human trafficking and addiction. And it's sad to see why a parent would do that, or how they're coerced or brainwashed into doing that. Or even that the children are even entered into this type of thing, but we need to put an end to it. And that's really what this comes down to, is there's an evil in this world that is perpetuating an agenda.
Yeah.
And if we allow it to win, our children, our grandchildren, our children's grandchildren will never be safe. And we are good at just as good as dead. You saw the DHS document that came out 2 weeks ago, to where they're talking about an uptick in domestic terrorism due to media information, alternative media information coming out from podcasts and from talk shows.
Yeah.
This is right during the whole Joe Rogan stuff. And then just yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, but the United States, the FBI, the United States government is investigating Zero Hedge, which is an alternative media platform for promoting Russian propaganda. And now they're going to go after them, and they're going to shut them down. And then the same day that it happens, GiveSendGo is hacked.
Yep.
Right. And so they're coming for us. They're coming for all of us. And if you have a voice, if you are verbal about this, you are a target. And that shouldn't scare you. That should exhilarate you, because when you stand behind your convictions, I can tell you, when you stand behind your convictions, that is the most noble and loyal thing that you can do. That is the most beautiful act of gratitude to the to the universe, to God, to whatever it is you believe. Because when you stand behind your convictions, you say, no, this is my rights, this is my freedoms, this is what I believe in.
Yeah.
That is one of the most honorable things that a human being could do. And so I think this is a wonderful time to be alive, because we're going to become targets simply for what we believe in. And it must be our duty to stand tall, to rise up, to fight back, nonviolent civil disobedience, and to say no more. We're not
just
taking
like the truckers. Just like the truckers.
That's right.
Yep. Because they ain't going to get cranes to move those things. A lot of them I've seen the videos. They look like they're having a hoot and a half up there. I'm like, it looks like so much fun. I see people have like inflatable hot tubs, and I mean, the kids have their bouncy castles. It looks like it's like negative whatever degrees it is up there. And I'm like, but they're having so much fun, and they're coming and like taking away their gas. And I'm like, but more people are getting outraged by that, because they're like, these people, they deliver our like good, like our food and like all these things that we all need. I mean, they're like the unsung heroes of the world, like because of them transporting all this stuff, and then how they're attacking them. And not just them, but like, I mean, if they arrest the truckers, where are the kids going to go? Because a lot of these have families. And that's what I've been wondering. I'm like, so if you arrest the parents, where are the kids going to go? Who's going to take control of them and stuff? And it's all that thing. But it's really cool to see, just whenever you mess with the kids, that's the last domino to fall. It's like, that's when people are like, nope. That's why COVID parents are voting out school board members, because they're like that one kid who was locked in a closet because he wouldn't wear a mask for just 30 minutes. Oh, God. And I'm like, that's where parents, just people, draw the line. Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, libertarian, doesn't matter. It's like, when you mess with the kids, that's where the line's drawn.
I 100% agree. And you know, shame on us for letting it get that far.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, shame on us for letting it get that far. Shame on us for not standing guard and letting it get to the kids. But that's where it is at now. And in Canada, they're taking some pretty draconian measures to make sure that these truckers will leave. Freezing bank accounts, not even freezing the bank accounts of the truckers and the convoy, the people there, but also freezing the bank account of anybody who donated to them. So much so that you have certain governors, mayors, and MPs in Canada calling for the incarceration, right? The incarceration of people who are Trump supporters who funded this campaign because they're funding terrorism. Oh yeah. This is bad. This is really, really bad. And I think Canada is starting to see that, hey, look, you know, even the liberals are sitting there going, oh no, this ain't good, eh? You know, this ain't good. We're gonna vote these people out, eh? So I hope that Canada's seeing it. I hope Canada's waking up. You know, they're coming out, oh, 92% of the people. No, they don't. It's BS. It's all BS. Actually, the polls that we're seeing are 86% of Canada is supportive of the trucker convoy.
Yep. Just like in America, the majority of people are supportive of the ones up there and the truckers here and all across the world that are. It's the majority of the people because they see them trying, like, get bullied. They see them getting bullied by big government. And of course, we know it's like deep state, very far more big, like nefarious plans and stuff. But even people who don't know the truth, they just see it as like government bullying the people. And they're like, hold up a second. Like, we don't want this and we don't like this. And obviously, I mean, Trudeau on Tucker, he was talking about that he's the love child of Fidel Castro. And I was like, did he just say that on Tucker Carlson?
Yeah.
I was like, what? He just said that on there.
In elite circles, it's very well known. In those higher up their circles, that's very, very well known. The bloodlines are very well known.
I know. They keep it all in the family.
Yep.
Ugh.
Well, you know, his father, right?
Yeah.
Who does his father look like? Not Castro, but...
His actual dad?
Yeah, the former prime minister.
Not his actual dad, but the one who, I don't know. I'm not really seeing a picture of him. What does he look
like? Rothschilds.
Ah, interesting. Yeah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they keep it within the family. They keep it within the bloodline. But you're about to see some fireworks. Things are about to get really, really interesting in the world.
Yeah, I know. It's a battle right now, you know, just kind of, thankfully, it's not war of blood right now for the most part. It's just kind of a war of wills and just keeping our spirits high and strong and be like, because we're not going to let them win. It's like, the future generations depend on it. Because like you said, if we give up and just be like, we're all dead anyways, it's like, and just let them win. Like the future children, like your kids, like grandkids, like the future generations, they're not going to have really a world that they would want to live in.
If you want to see what they're planning on, what they have in perspective.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake came out with a song a few years ago called Supplies. Mm-hmm. Go watch that music video. I did an esoteric breakdown, an occult breakdown of the symbology of that video. Yeah. And it's all presentation of the new age being birthed and born out of chaos and fire. And at the end of the video, it's like a desolate dystopian future. And it's Justin Timberlake sitting there saying, I'm okay because I got my supplies. And he's pointing to the kids. I got my supplies. The kids were the supplies in the future that would be given for his survival to something else, to something higher than him.
Yeah.
You can kind of understand where that goes in the sense of the symbology. So they're talking about something else rules the world, something else destroyed the world, and we give it praise. And the praise that we give it is our children. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty sick and disgusting video. The thing is it's a perversion of a lot of different information. So that's just kind of how Satanism operates. Satanism is inversion, perversion. It operates in ignorance and arrogance, right?
Yep.
So
that's why the Super Bowl halftime shows for all these years have been just satanic occultic symbols for the entire thing. Well, I know the one that this year, they were the FEMA camp cars, I think, right? What I found interesting though was that they ended on top of them, which I was like, huh, that's weird, because usually you'd think they would end in them, so I thought that was weird. But
So I think people missed a lot of the symbology, because I don't know who's about breaking this. I've heard the FEMA carts, I heard it was a white hat operation, like, you know,
I heard that from the ad, because it had chess pieces on there. That I heard that I think that's where I heard that from.
I think it's 107 texted all of his buddies saying it was a white hat operation, and people were like, oh, it's a white hat operation. But it definitely was not a white hat operation for people out there. If you watch the chessboard's being played on the United States of America. It's being played on the globe. It is the globalists putting the United States in the checkmate. That is a symbolic representation. If you actually look at the halftime show of the five white houses that are on there, it's on a grid pattern structure. The grid pattern structure is the United States of America. The five houses represent the five houses of the zodiac and transition that is occurring. If you notice, the first two houses, everybody was on top of the houses. This was Dr. Dre and with Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, and then Eminem, and then 50, or Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, and then 50 Cent. 50 Cent came out in the third house. The third house was red. And he was hanging upside down. This is representative of the rising of the underworld. Okay. So that's telling
that was
you.
Part was creepy. That part was creepy. And I saw that part just looked creepy.
Well, but you have to understand what this represents. Is it's the five trans, it's the five transitory houses of the zodiac of the next five transitions. That's they're telling you. Okay. In 9 months, all hell's gonna break loose because it's 3 months in each house.
Oh, yeah.
Within 9 months, all hell's going to break loose. The world's going to be turned upside down into hell. Okay. So, I mean, this is, I've been doing this for 25 years in the sense of the occult symbology and how this operates. Yeah. And I was actually on Devin Scott's Transcend the Matrix special for the Super Bowl. And I was actually breaking this down in real time. Then you had Kendrick that came out there and he had the series of different boxes. And if you look at the alignment of boxes, it was 666576. And so you have the 57, which is just 5 and 7 is 13, right? 13 is representative of the old, old Hebrew zodiac, which is representative of the 13 houses. You have the 13 bloodlines, the 13 tribes, right? But what you also have is you have 666 and 13. And so this is really, really interesting in the symbolic nature. And they had black demons coming out of these boxes, by the way. And then behind them, they had a billboard that said the eve of... was the eve of darkness or it was the eve of evil or whatever it was. Forgot what it said specifically. I have it in my notes downstairs. But all of that is representative of what they're trying to usher in. This goes back to the Travis Scott, Astroworld, everything that happened there. And we broke down the symbology of that, of the Levitian cross that they created, the whole symbology of Meta and 8 and the metaverse, the relationship, the Pearl Jam concert that 8 people died in. This stuff is not a coincidence for people out there, though. If you understand the symbolic nature of what they're doing, if you understand how they hijack symbology, they invert symbology, and they utilize it for their own benefit, you'll understand exactly what's happening right now. And you'll understand why they use demonic symbology like Baal or Moloch, or they give sacrificial worship to these things, because those things actually represent, they actually represent ignorance, the high degree states of ignorance, because the way that those symbolic representations of those demons that evil is created is through a false light being shone on knowledge and you missing the knowledge and only seeing the shadow that it casts. And that's ignorance. And that's what it's representative. It's the Super Bowls are interesting. There's a lot of symbolic relationships that are happening right now. And if people are interested in checking that stuff out and learning more about that aspect of it, they can find us at redpills.tv, redpills.tv. It's really, really simple. You put all that into a web browser, redpills.tv. You can find us. And I do a podcast, four nights a week, Monday through Thursday, the political geoeconomic situation. A lot of what we just talked about there is talked about in that. And then Friday nights, if you like to kick back, relax a little bit, we talk conspiracies and aliens and ghosts and all that weird wacky stuff. So it's kind of fun on Friday nights as well.
I know, but hey, as long as they ain't going to win, as long as we can help it, they're not going to win.
Right. Keep on getting the truth out there. Keep on getting the truth out there.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Josh, for coming on. It's been great as always talking with you.
You as well, Hannah. Thank you much.
Hello, fellow patriots, and thank you all so much for watching today's episode. I would also like to thank the sponsor of this episode today, MyPillow. Mike Lindell is a genius in many, many areas, and his products are absolutely no exception. Mattress toppers, sheets, slippers, bath towels, and of course, pillows are just a few of his many products that you can find at MyPillow.com. When you use promo code Hannah, you can get up to 66% off of all his amazing line of products. My bedroom purse personally is absolutely filled with all kinds of his products, and my dog Katie absolutely loves her MyPillow dog bed. Well, at least when my kitty Demi isn't stealing Katie's spot on it. There are so many amazing Patriot businesses out in America today, and we all need to support them so that together we can all defund the deep state and refund the kingdom. Until next time, this is your friendly neighborhood Patriot Hannah signing off and saying, remember, stay encouraged. Thank you for watching The Red Patriot Show. To find more of my content, resources, and where you can find all of my video platforms, as well as all the social media outlets I use, go to www.theredpatriotshow.com. That's www.theredpatriotshow.com. See y'all later.